The doctor was the monk. Sorry, old habits. Here we go. How does a podcast evolve after you've practically solved every puzzy and riddy? You really gotta expand upon your limited brand before your show gets really shitty. You turn to face reality and pray your personalities will carry this last minute pivot through. So here comes the content that nobody wanted. Now it's time for Hate Riddle Riddles Clue Crew.
Hey, Aaron and JPC. Sorry I'm a little late. I've been busy with technology. Wink.
A little late? My guy, you are over 1 minute late.
Oh. Fuck.
Under two, but I'm still pissed.
Shit. As per my contract, does that mean I can be replaced by any celebrity starting with the letter A?
Please remember a celebrity that starts with an A.
Is that why Ansel Adams' ashes are here?
Hey, guys, I'm here. Am I late?
Well. Aaron, you're not late. You're 2 minutes late.
Oh, no.
Which means we can now have
breakfast for dinner.
We can have breakfast for dinner, and Eric Banna can be a host.
Would it have to be EK? Would we have to think of a celebrity with EK? Like
we should. We should.
Like Eric? Aaron Kakovich or
Aaron Kakovich.
Of course. Cool.
Eli. Okay. There's got to be an Emily Knife or something like that, right? That has to be
Emily Knife. How Knife. I wish my name was
the
Emily Knife.
Star. Well, Aaron, you can legally change your name and then be the new host.
Would you rather change your
my
name to...
My microphone topples over. I ran out of my house.
Would you rather change your name, Aaron, to Emily Knife or Erica Karate? The choice is yours. Ask me one of those.
I love both. Mm-hmm. I do love both, but I think I'm going Emily Knife.
Emily Knife is very
sorry, great. I took so long to decide on that. No, this is not a serious...
I'm going to change my name to Alvin Runnings.
We could do Aaron Rodgers. I think he could be on the show.
No. I'm good.
Alvin Runnings then, huh?
Which of course combines my favorite chipmunk with my favorite Jamaican bobsled movie.
Alex Rodriguez. Naturally. Wow, a lot of baseball players with AR is their name.
Well,
huh?
Aaron Rodgers famously football.
For now. That's where he's known most now.
That's correct. But GPC,
Michael Jordan. Ooh. Michael Jordan, we all know, baseball.
Well, yeah, I guess so.
Gambling on baseball.
Ooh, okay, famous JPC. Judas Priest sings.
Sing it with a C.
On Ice. Have you guys ever seen an On Ice production?
You know, I was just thinking about that the other day because someone said they went to Disney On Ice and had a great time, and I went, those still exist? Huh.
I would go high to see that. I almost pulled the trigger to buy tickets to go see. There's a live Bluey show.
Oh, which is on ice?
It's not on ice, but it's just live. But it's like people in big old costumes and puppetry and stuff. And I think it's
Mom!
Written by the creator.
Oh,
Dad!
Interesting. Is it like this is like a touring show?
Yeah. And I'm like, I kind of want to go. But then I'm also like, if I show up, I'm sure a lot of parents will be like, Tom, come here. Timmy, come here. Sarah, get away from him. A lot of that.
You kidnap just, a kid and then bring that kid.
Or you don't need to kidnap a kid. Just walk around and just walk around looking really sad and just every couple of minutes say, my child was kidnapped.
I think that's the
not
right.
here.
That's the move.
Not here.
Of course. Earlier in the day.
Yeah. But I came here to take my mind off of it.
But tickets are tickets.
Tickets are tickets. Thank you. I paid through the nose for fees.
James Caan.
Huh?
May have had an initial P as the middle name. It could be like James Patrick
Caan.
Yeah, we don't know.
I think James Caan would bring
Person Caan
an interesting energy to the show.
I think he's dead.
He is dead. But
okay,
a famous curmudgeon. He, I think, on the set of Elf, they said that Will Ferrell like pissed him off just by being silly. Like, he'd pull a little joke, and then James Caan would be like, I'm going to knock your fucking teeth out.
Jesus Christ.
And they'd be like, let's take 20, and then everyone would go to their separate rooms or whatever sets of movies are like.
It's James Edmund.
That's sad.
And it's James Francis Cameron. So
damn it.
Yeah, it's both of these are both of these don't work for me.
Hmm.
Well, anyway, if you know celebrities
John F.
that have
Kennedy with a C. John
and
F.
a P. Sennedy. John P. Sennedy.
Is this what we're doing today?
John P. Sennedy.
What we're doing today is, Aaron, I was late because I was tinkering with some new technology that Hoagie Tony showed me himself. This is called ChatGPT. Have we heard of this? GPT. I'm sorry, ChatGPT. I've been dabbling too long in this episode with letter changes. Have you played with ChatGPT?
Yeah, I played with it, I mean, as you know, a little bit, because I was trying to get this AI, Casey says CPT are my initials, I was trying to get this AI to write an episode introduction for us, and I got it to write some pretty good episode introductions for the podcast.
You emailed those over, and I was taken aback by how delightful they were.
Yeah.
They're way more positive than we are. We're in a way better mood.
Yeah.
It's a lot of like us supporting each other by being like, that's a great job. Hey, you were really great.
And it's like what like 20 lines, and they do like 3 riddles. So they do way more riddles than we do on the show. The AI apparently thinks that Hey Riddle Riddle does a ton of riddles.
Yeah, it must have like searched the internet to calculate. Casey says read it. Do we want to read the intro?
Yeah, why don't we? So just for anyone who's not familiar with this brilliant piece of technology, this is going to be taking away all of the jobs in a matter of weeks. But one of the things it does...
podcasting?
Definitely podcasting. Podcasting is something that could be easily replaced by this AI.
Okay, so here is the Hey Riddle Riddle intro that JPC created using ChatGPT. I think I have the first line. So is everybody ready?
Yeah, let's go. Let's do it.
Hey everyone, welcome to Hey Riddle Riddle, the podcast where we solve riddles and then improvise silly scenes based on those riddles. I'm Adel, and I love wordplay and puns.
I'm Aaron, and I'm a little sleepy, but don't worry, I'll still bring the laughs.
And I'm JPC, and I'm chaotic and inappropriate. Let's get started.
Stage directions, they solve the first riddle. Okay, the first riddle is, what has keys but can't open locks?
I'm stumped. This is sexist.
A keyboard.
Ooh, that's clever.
So for our scene, let's imagine a world where keyboards are the only way to open locks. Stage directions, they start improvising as characters in this world.
Aaron, as a clumsy character.
Sexist.
Oh no, I dropped my keyboard and now I can't open my front door.
Stage direction, as a criminal. Ha! Looks like I have the only working keyboard, so I can rob you all blind.
Stage direction, as a hero, Adel enters. Not so fast, villain. I have a special keyboard that can open any lock. The scene takes a wild turn.
Wait, what if the keyboard is actually a magical instrument that can transport us to different dimensions?
Ooh, I like that idea. Let's go explore.
Yes, let's go on a wild adventure and see what other weird and wonderful worlds we can find. They continue improvising as they explore different dimensions.
Aaron, laughing. This is so much fun!
JPC making silly noises. Booga, 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 booga. I love the chaos!
Adel, smiling. This is why we love improvising and podcasting. Anything can happen.
Then it says, stage direction, they end the scene and move on to the next riddle. So that was still taking place in the scene.
This is me talking outside of this scene. I just love the line, this is why we love improvising and podcasting, ... anything can happen. Okay, Adel continues. All right, let's see what the next riddle is.
Bring it on.
Let's see if we can come up with something even crazier this time.
Stage directions. They continue solving riddles and improvising scenes, with each scene taking a wild turn in the middle, much to the delight of their fans.
So you let us know, fans. No. Were you delighted by that? Because the AI seems to think that you really would be delighted by that.
I do like that the ChatGPT AI did insert the stage directions of the scene takes a wild turn. I think that's really smart to put in there.
I think I included something about that in the prompt of that usually our improv scenes have some sort of turn in them or something along those lines.
Just to continue to show the power of this AI. So again, you just put in the chat or search bar, you just type in what you want it to create and it creates it for you. Earlier today, JPC, today we're recording on your birthday. Happy birthday.
Thank you. This is when you're wondering why this is like recording 4 weeks ago, it's because we took a little holiday break too.
Everyone deserves a break. But for a little birthday treat for today's episode, what I did, I texted it to you. I hope you got it. Oh God, I hope I didn't send it to someone else. I put in the prompt just, again to show the power of this technology. I put in a very simple prompt. All I said was write a poem about piss.
Mm-hmm.
JPC, do you mind reading this poem?
No, I do not. I here we go. Piss, oh piss, so warm and yellow, flowing from my bladder, mellow. A liquid waste, yet oh so sweet, a sign of health, a bodily treat. Piss, oh piss, so pungent and strong, a scent that lingers all day long. Some may wrinkle noses in disgust, but to me, it's the smell of trust. Was this written by a dog? Piss, oh piss, so necessary and true, a sign that my body is working through and through. From my kidneys down to my bladder, piss, oh piss, a precious matter. Piss, oh piss, a part of me, a natural function so wild and free. So let us embrace it without fear or shame, for piss, oh piss, is simply part of the game.
Yay, happy birthday.
That's lovely. Happy birthday.
Wow, that's just a poem about piss.
Two things. One, clearly this AI has seen the movie Dead Poets Society. A lot of blank. And two, JPC, I really enjoy the thought exercise that this technology is actually, it's not AI at all. It's actually a dog behind a keyboard.
Oh, yeah.
Frantically trying to respond to all the requests.
Well, you asked him to write a poem about piss, and they were like, the take on piss is, like, really positive, which is, like, this AI is, you know, scrubbing whatever databases they're going for, so I guess most people have, like, a positive impression of piss?
Yeah, the lines, I was very thrown by two lines. One is, a liquid waste, yet oh so sweet.
Uh-huh.
And then the other one that really threw me was, it's the smell of trust.
That's what made me think dog wrote this.
Yeah.
I thought it was good, though.
Unfortunately, the poem is very good. And unfortunately, this AI system will be like the death of any like grade school / early college writing assignments.
Because can I tell you guys? Oh, go ahead.
You're just going to be able to put in like, I have like a four-page paper. It's like, write a four-page paper about, the difference between capitalism and socialism, and the fucking AI is just going to spit it out, and you'll be like, done.
Do you ever notice how capitalism drives like this?
Yeah, I'm sorry. My prompt just keeps doing 80s comedy.
You know what is really scary? I was listening to James Cameron on Smartless last night.
Okay.
And he, I know, he was talking
terrified
about AIs, and he said AIs could have already taken over, but they're so smart that we would have no idea. They would make sure we didn't know, and they would control us in a way that we would never find out that they've already taken over. And now I'll never sleep again. Are you an AI?
Here's what I think.
Yeah.
I think James Cameron is correct. And the reason I think he is correct and that this has already happened and maybe has been in place for some time is that when I signed up for this ChatGPT, it made me sign up for an account. When I signed up for an account, it says, are you a robot? And I had to check a box that said no. It then tested me to make sure I wasn't a robot. Now, that sounds like what a robot would do. It would be like, right, are you one of us? Same dude. And then when they find out I'm a human, it goes, great, let's keep things in place. I'm going to trick you.
The test, when it's like, are you a robot? Or you have to prove that you're human. And then they give you the test. And then they're like, this proves that you're human. That's conditioning you to think that this is proof that you're human. So one day when you meet a robot, you'll be like, identify the crosswalks. And they'll be like, these are crosswalks. And you'll be like, I guess you're a human, just like me. But the robot wrote the fucking test. So.
Shit.
There's actually there's a subset of like Silicon Valley too rich for their own good weirdos who are actually concerned with a theory that they're so smart and so good at building the future of technology that beings, I think like robots or like beings, time travelers from the future will want to come back in time to kill them so that their good ideas don't get out there and like change the world. So there really are people so fucking rich that they're worried about being killed by future people because their ideas are so good. And to all of these people, I say, they got to go now. Like, if that's what, if your main worry in life is that you're so smart and cool that someone from the future is going to kill you because you're too smart and cool, I got to eat your legs today.
Which JPC begs the question, are you from the future?
That's the worst part is when I'm icing this dude, like he'll be like, ah, this proves me right. And I'll be like, this proves you dead, motherfucker. Like, I think, just like, good night.
Give me your legs.
I think this is a Manchurian candidate situation. I think you're a sleeper agent from the future who's been activated once you read the news about this happening.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, yeah. God, it's, you can't win. You can't
win. It's mind boggling. So what I did, what I thought to do, clearly we're already playing with the AI in the episode. But what I wanted to do is do some improv off some prompts that the AI would give us.
Okay.
Now, I will say I ran into a bit of a failure on my very first try. I typed in, give me a list of the worst improv prompts. Now, that proceeded to give me a list of 10 improv prompts that I refused to even read on the air because they're disgusting.
Yeah, it did do exactly what it was told, and it did do 10 very inappropriate things to do an improv scene about, so you got what you asked for.
Well, I said worst improv prompts, which I thought would be like a parent finds drugs under a kid's mattress.
Computers are very literal. If you say worst, they will be like, they'll go into some dark shit immediately.
No, but we love computers. We think they're funny and cool.
Aaron, no.
And smart. Ooh-wee, do I love those computers. Computers.
Please don't eat our legs.
Aaron vying for computer wife. So I had to readjust my prompt here. So I changed it to give me a list of the weirdest improv prompts.
Okay.
And then I struck gold. In my opinion, I struck gold. So what I have here are 10 prompts for the weirdest improv that AI thinks can possibly happen on Earth. To be clear, this is just on Earth.
This is just Earth.
So we'll be reading out these prompts and doing some improv based off of it. Are we ready for the first one?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Prompt number one. Describe a day in the life of a piece of broccoli. Now, I think ChatGPT nailed this because most scenes are just somebody describing something. It's a lot of talking heads. Yeah.
So can I ask, Adel, and it's okay if you don't remember, but do you remember what prompt you put in finally to get the list that you're giving now?
Yes. This is give me a list of the weirdest improv prompts. So before I said worst improv prompts, and that led me to, I hate that that's even on my computer what the list pulled up.
Got it.
But the one we're using now was from weirdest improv prompts versus worst. So this is weirdest. Number one in weirdest is describe a day in the life of a piece of broccoli.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, this is definitely one of the weirdest improv prompts that I've ever heard.
Okay, Aaron, whenever you're ready.
He wakes up in his studio apartment. He didn't sleep great last night, but it wasn't as bad as it usually is. He looks at his phone. No texts. She didn't call. He doesn't care anymore. He stands up on the side of the bed, slipping his slippers on and shuffling over to make himself coffee.
Okay, so far this is just the plot to Swingers by Jon Favreau.
To get through the day. We see him put on a boring suit and tie, go onto a gray train, look out the gray window at the gray city he used to love. His commute sucking the soul out of his body. He goes to work, sits down, does meeting after meeting. It's meaningless. It's meaningless. He shuffles back on the train, more gray. He texts some friends, knows that they're probably out at a bar somewhere, but they don't text him back. That's okay. They're probably just going to complain anyway. Sits down in front of his TV, watches an unfunny late night show host ramble and talk on about how all the modern events happening in today's world. He shuts the TV off, stares at the wall, does some dishes, gets back into bed, stares up at the ceiling. Maybe I'll get eaten tomorrow, he says. Maybe I'll get eaten tomorrow. And he falls asleep.
Aaron, that was incredible.
Haunting. Almost, dare I say, Kafka-esque.
Was I talking?
Did you say Kafta?
Kafta-esque.
Aaron, wait, I was speaking just now?
Your eyes went pure white.
I'm scared. Can you take me to the hospital?
No, you delivered the most beautiful prose I've ever heard.
And if you want to go to the hospital, call an ambulance or a Lyft. but I'm not driving.
I think you need to go to, I want to say, Indiana State University's writing program. Is that the big one?
Oh,
it's
no.
Iowa.
It's Iowa.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Whoops.
That's okay.
It's Iowa.
Yeah. I'm not going to either. They'd never let me in.
Unfortunately, it's Iowa. Sorry, Adel.
Watched all of Girls again. Aaron, that was fantastic. I will say, for a minute there, I thought you had done the impossible and typed into ChatGPT, describe a day in the life of a piece of broccoli, and had the computer make it for you.
How'd you know?
But then I tried that myself, and what popped up was, I'm sorry, but as a language model trained by OpenAI, I don't have the ability to describe a day in the life of a piece of broccoli. So...
humans one, AI zero.
This stupid thing can't even describe the day in the life of a piece of broccoli. Suck my ass, AI.
Eat my legs.
Eat my fucking billionaire legs, you dumb robot.
Bart Simpson quote. Of course, also a day in the life of a piece of broccoli is my favorite Beatles song.
Aaron, I have a question about your broccoli.
Yeah.
When they were going
I mean,
to work
I have all the answers.
And I was trying to visualize this as you were describing it. But sure. When they were going to work, are they like working in a grocery store where they just like sit? Like, is that the meetings that they have? Or
no, works downtown. He's
just
finance.
Downtown. Yeah, he's finance guy.
Yeah, that makes sense, right?
If I texted my friends and they never texted me back, I would be like, well, these aren't my friends, right? Like, surely
that's
I can't.
That's the whole point.
Surely I can't. This is like the broccoli incel.
Yeah,
Aaron, I'd love to see I'd love to see you write a one woman show based off the story that you blacked out with.
Yeah, and you know people would come and see it.
Yeah,
yeah, I think so. But
not
imagine,
hear about it and run in the opposite direction.
Imagine everything you said, but for 90 minutes with no intermission, plus you dressed as a giant piece of broccoli in a suit. I mean, it's making me smile.
Okay.
It's
well,
making
now,
me smile.
If I make it super sad and it's just this guy in a broccoli suit, okay, this is actually...
Can I direct
okay.
this, please? Can I direct
yes,
this, please?
Yes, okay. I will do this.
Can it be one of those, like, you know, like Andy Serkis green screen suits, like, with just, like, a broccoli head on top of it? That would be very cool. Like a
green
unitary.
Screen.
Okay, yeah.
Green screen, we're halfway there.
Exactly, right? We don't even need to change the color of the suit.
Y'all, Andy Serkis is so good in Andor, too.
He's incredible.
He's so good. I'm sorry. I'm really into Andor right now.
Hey, when the circus is in town, I'll buy a ticket to see that circus. That's one circus that is ethical.
I think when he played Caesar, the lead monkey in Planet of the Apes remake, they said he like went to the zoo for like 5,000 hours and just like watched monkeys.
5,000 hours? Wow.
You know, Malcolm Gladwell says to... perfect any craft, you have to put in 10,000 hours, but to play a monkey, it's half.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He says to perfect exactly. a craft, it's 10,000 hours, but yeah. you can do a really good job with 5,000. Don't discount what you can do with 5,000.
Yeah.
Oh, God, don't go for 10 if you're over 25.
10 is good for one thing. Like, if you want to do good golf, do 10. Yeah, yeah, but yeah. if it's like a monkey movie you're trying to make, 5,000
tops. 5,000 tops.
If
you can get away
with 2,800. If you want to be able to improvise the day in the life of broccoli, you're going to need 10,000 hours under your belt.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
Aaron, if I am directing, which I am, this 90-minute yeah. tour de force one-woman show,
right.
would it be okay if we... slipped in a little Dana Carvey song, possibly.
Okay,
no, it couldn't be. You couldn't be referring to chopping broccoli.
Aaron, this is the suggestion of a man who does not have 10,000 hours directing. I would be shocked if it's more than 200, 300 hours directing. That's the kind of ideas you're dealing with now.
I've directed up to 2,000 delivery boys to my place for pizza.
Now, you want to get if you get James Patrick Cameron in there, that's a director. That guy's going to direct the hell out of that one woman broccoli.
Avatar 3, A Day in the Life of Broccoli.
Can you bring the pizza right to my bathroom? I don't want to get up.
And also, your motivation is a tip, and also you are scared. Action. Director, theatrical directors don't say action, do they?
No. They have another guy say it.
I directed in college. Okay, here's prompt number two for the weirdest improv prompts. This is going to be the two of you together.
Okay.
I might pop in, but we'll see what happens.
It might.
So this one is, JPC will say the first part is about you. You're okay. an apple pie, and your best friend is a pair of socks. Aaron, you're the socks. Tell a story about your adventures together. So they almost, in number two, they almost get an improv prompt correct, which is what we do in the main feed, which is, you know, you're an apple pie and your best friend is a pair of socks.
Yeah.
But then it tries to push a little too hard. It goes one inch too far and it says, tell a story about your adventures together. Whereas I would be like, you're in a bar reminiscing or just
show us a story. About your adventures together.
But the AI is so controlling. It can't let go.
Adel, I kind of like this because it sort of feels like when Harry met Sally, okay. like a talking head interview. Maybe we're old and we're talking about being young and us in the past.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So we're choosing the AI over Adel. I get it. Okay. So JPC, you're an apple pie. Your best friend is a pair of socks. Aaron, and tell us a story about your adventures together.
Wow. What a life. What a life the two of us have lived. What a long, luxurious life.
Mm-hmm. When Appy and I were young, we used to get up to the craziest stuff. Mm. He would sit on windowsills and he would make a smell for the whole neighborhood to smell. But then when people would smell me, they'd go, pee you. Isn't that right, Appy?
Oh, Andy. And then when Andy got a little bit older and he would constantly fuck both of us.
What?
Yeah, you know, I mean, he Jason Biggs'd me a bunch of times. I'm sure you being socks, like, I mean, we've never talked about it explicitly, but I'm sure he definitely beat off and you busted.
Yeah,
busted.
I thought that we were exclusive, though.
Oh, what? You thought Andy wasn't busting at anything hot and warm that he could... Andy saw the first American Pie movie when he was 15 years old. He climbed up on the counter... And he put his whistle stick in me.
Okay, well, I've been clean.
He gave me his Woody.
Thousands of times. Do you have cum in you right now?
Yeah. I'm mostly cum.
Okay.
Ooh,
that's
someone left
horrible.
A apple pie out on the counter.
No, sir. You don't want to eat
big
that.
Slice.
No.
Oh,
I'm breaking out of the improv scene. Scene.
This is the best apple pie I've ever had.
I said scene.
Which is
do we not honor the word scene anymore? My God.
Not from a pair of socks, you robot.
He's an adult Andy. He can eat this. This is fine.
Maybe my number one least favorite trope is in movies and TV shows when someone does something gross to food. And then the person eats it, and they go,
I hate that.
Yeah.
This is the best blank I've ever had. And I'm like, what are we doing? This has happened 20 times in cinema
so
and
stupid.
TV. I hate it.
One of my least favorite things in television shows is when people who are obviously not drinking liquid, like coffee in a cup, take drinks of coffee in the cup or treat a cup like it has coffee in it.
Yeah.
I think everyone should just say what we're all thinking. There should be a line of dialogue in every one of those scenes that say, my cup's empty.
Yep.
I got to get more coffee after this scene.
I had to stop
after we're
watching.
Done talking and advancing the plot, I'm going to go get more coffee because I'm out. And then they should tip the cup upside down to show that we all see that it's empty.
Well,
you think they should say the thing about advancing the plot?
Yeah, I think so. Because otherwise, I'm tuning out. If I don't know that the plot's being advanced, I'm not paying attention.
But JPC, if they hold it upside down to show there's no liquid inside, wouldn't they also possibly be proving that it's actually a concrete?
Yeah, that's true. It's actually a blizzard. A blizzard, yeah. They do that.
Coffee's not supposed to be that consistency, though.
I think what they end up saying, Adel, because you're right, so to split it down the middle, what they say is, I'm out of coffee, they turn it upside down, they say, it's not a blizzard, then they show it to you. So they turn it they turn it towards the camera, so you can see it's not ice cream with a big spoon in it.
Okay.
And they say, see? Empty. And then they go, now we got to catch this killer.
I truly had to stop watching. There's a show on Hulu, an original, I believe, called The Patient. It's Steve Carell and Domhnall Gleeson. I typically love Domhnall Gleeson, if that's how you say it. Domhnall?
Domhnall?
Domhnall.
Domhnall.
I typically love anything he's in. But this show I had to stop watching because in almost every scene, he has a Dunkin' Donuts like 20-ouncer. Uh-huh. And it's clearly empty. And he drinks and drinks and drinks. And he moves it around like it is air. Also, a lot of the show is just very bad. But watch the first episode of that and then get back to me about how empty his cup could not, to borrow a phrase from Matthew Perry, could not be any emptier.
How have we in the movie and television business in the year of our Lord 2023, how have we not solved this problem? How do
could
we
just
still
be
have
water?
Just let it be water. But like, how do we still have empty cups? Like, if you need to put a lid on it so we know it's not coffee, just have all the coffee cups have lids on them, but fill them so that they have actual weight. It's like, It's like giving someone like a, it's like giving someone clothes with no back to them. Yeah. Like an actor is like, but just be very careful when you're moving because we can't let it, the audience know that your clothes have no back side to it. You're just naked back there.
Treating clothes like old timey Western sets. Like, don't go around the saloon.
Yeah, have you ever been on a live set? Everyone is, it's like hospital gowns, but backwards. Like, yeah. They have those, like, there's nothing not going on down there.
Yeah, there's also no ceilings ever. So we're just not showing the ceiling. That's staying out of frame. But what they tell the actors is they go, hey, guys, I know there's no ceiling over there. So, like, a bird could be up there, but don't, like, be looking and checking for birds up there because there's no birds because there's no ceiling. So you'll break the reality behind the thing. Get on it, Hollywood. Solve your fucking problems. I can't solve them
all.
Just
fill it with water. Fill it with water.
Kill it with milk. I don't give a shit.
And if you're worried about liquid, put like a beanbag in there or something, or just put some sew a weight into the cup. What are we doing?
Wouldn't it be so funny if you were just like watching like a, you know, hard-boiled cop procedural and suddenly like they gestured at a bunch of beans, like a bunch of like loose beans spilled out of your coffee cup.
I forgot to grind my coffee this morning.
A full donut comes out of the coffee
weighted cup. Yeah.
Let's go back to our weirdest improv prompts.
Oh, yes, please.
You're a piece of bubblegum, and you have to solve a murder mystery. Now, this one, I think, is pretty good.
Okay, this is good.
Some of these, I think the AI doesn't realize that improv is typically almost exclusively a two-person or more sport. So there is a lot of, like, one-person things of, like, you're a piece of bubblegum, you have to solve a murder, or the piece of broccoli thing. I would like, do you mind if you're both pieces of bubblegum?
I'm assuming, yeah, you'll be interacting with a greater world because you're trying to solve like a murder, right?
Yeah, I think so. Actually, I'll be the piece of bubblegum trying to solve a murder mystery, and the two of you are suspects. I was all chewed up. I'd almost lost my flavor because I couldn't figure out who in this ballroom had done the deed. I saw a man leaning up against the chandelier, tallest man I ever saw. Must have been 11 foot 12. I guess that would be 12 foot even. I approached him and asked him what his name was. Excuse me, Stretch. What's your name?
Don't be Stretch. My name is Stretch.
Fuck, I said. Fee-fi-fo-fum. I knew immediately he was a giant. Are you a giant? I asked.
Well, now, of course. I'm 12 foot even.
He confirmed.
Hold on, I'm trying to get comfortable leaning against a chandelier.
He coughed.
Really, I guess I'm just leaning my neck against it, really.
He exploded. Well, oh, no, he accidentally exploded. Am I the murderer? I thought to myself. Maybe this whole time I've been blacking out and killing people. But then, from across the room, I saw the longest pair of legs I ever saw being eaten by a woman. Excuse me.
Keep the change. Yeah.
Keep what change? You're eating,
what?
You're eating legs and you said keep the change.
Can I help you? I don't think we've been acquainted yet.
I think she had a catchphrase that she had to shoehorn in no matter what her action was. And I think it was keep the change. My name is Fruitly Juicy, and I am trying to solve a murder here in the ballroom. Did you see that exploding giant by chance?
I did, and you were the last person I saw with him. Maybe you're the murderer.
We stared at each other for what felt like hours, but must have been
and
days.
Hey,
huh?
Keep the change.
She did the splits, and clearly broke both her legs.
Mm-hmm.
It was her. Case closed. Or was it? It was. Not. Scene.
Who was it?
Aaron, please. It was the pair of legs.
Oh, sorry.
It was the set of legs.
We all know it was the set of legs.
You've never heard the phrase killer legs?
It kind of sucks that no one really cared that really tall man exploded.
He was just a character, JPC. It's okay.
I think
that's true. And that's how we dehumanize.
Exactly. I think after you reach a certain height, if you're above a certain height or below a certain height, I think you start to be seen as like a novelty, right?
Unfortunately.
When I talk to Arnie Niekamp, friend of the show, I don't see him as human.
Oh, no.
Because he's like 6'6", and I'm just
like... But
that
has nothing to do with his height, right?
No.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
It's the fact that he has no soul.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Here's some more of the weirdest improv prompts. I think this, I think we'll go with this one here. You are a cloud. These all start with you are a blank. You okay. are a cloud, and you have to sing a love song to the moon. Aaron, do you mind being a cloud? And JPC, do you mind mm-hmm. being the moon?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Let's do it.
If you don't mind, I have to swoon, 'cause you're very cute and you're just a moon. You live high in the big blue sky. I want you to be my guy. And I'm trying to reach you. And I'm trying to squeeze you. And I'm singing my song, and I think that you're about to sing along. And
well, what's that sound? Could it be a little cloud? If you want to kiss the moon, you'll have to catch me soon, 'cause when the sun comes out, I go away, and a little cloud kiss can't make me stay. Come on up to the stratosphere, get up here and you'll be near.
Charles, are you seeing this? I am so fucking high.
Dude, you're way too high. We're taking you to the hospital.
Darren, I'm seeing it too.
Darren, this is incredible.
All right, boys, get in my car.
We're all seeing what I'm seeing, right? We're seeing this dog talk to this park bench, right? We're seeing this dog sing a song to a park bench.
What? I saw a cloud singing a song to the moon.
Boys, get in the car. Get in the car. You're high. You're way too high. Get in the car.
Yes, Dad. Sorry, Dad.
Dad, can we take this dog to this park bench? They're in love.
There is neither of those things are really here. You're not even hearing them talk. Not only are they not talking to each other, there is no dog. There is no park bench.
Park bench, are you seeing what I'm seeing?
Yes, same thing.
Bad parenting.
Very bad. Ruff, ruff, ruff.
Ruff, 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 ruff. Wait,
how do you guys
you
know
ruffing?
That? You're high.
See? I feel like, here's my motivation. I feel
Park bench had a dog sounding voice.
In my opinion, trying to put myself in the shoes, of a park bench. A park bench doesn't have a clear accent, it doesn't have a clear cadence, so I think it would just mimic whatever it's talking to.
Wow. Empathetic.
Yes. To the max.
To the max.
Well, you're doing it right now.
A park bench, in my opinion, is the most empathetic seat? Seating device?
Device?
Beanbag chair.
Oh, yeah. Really contours.
Yeah, that's really empathetic. Yep. Mm-hmm.
I think this one will be fun, and whoever wants to take this one, it's up for grabs, or it could be a scene.
Great.
You are a bowl of mashed potatoes, and you have to explain why you should be the next president of the United States. I really feel like this AI captured our energy, because typically we will do scenes where someone's like a vending machine, and someone else is like the concept of jealousy, and they're trying to do something, and it just devolves into chaos. So I feel like the AI has our number.
Yeah.
These are not unlike scenes we typically do. Okay, Aaron Keefe, you have it. Again, you are a bowl of mashed potatoes, and you have to explain why you should be the next president of the United States.
Wait. You don't have to eat me. Hold on.
Okay.
Nobody eat me. You know,
we're all
very
hungry mashed potatoes.
And I know that. And I know that better than anyone. There's like squash here. There's turkey here. There's lots here. But I was thinking that I could make some lasting change. I could eat you. And then that will only last a moment on the lips.
You
could
eat me?
No, you could eat me. You could eat me.
Okay, don't mind if I do. Dips
in spoon. No, wait. You could eat me.
Tink, tink, tink. Over here, everyone. Sorry, New Potatoes has an announcement. I am running for office of the President of the United States.
No.
Oh.
I hope I can count on your vote. Yes, New Potatoes for a new world.
I too am running for President Potato of the President of the United States.
Oh, sweetie.
Oh.
Aren't we all tired of the same old potato politics? Hi, I'm Scallop Potatoes, and I want to be the president of the Potato United States. I've got milk, I've got cheese, and I've got
rhubarb, ideas. Quiet down!
Ideas that this nation needs.
I think that people would... that's too much change too fast. People need a classic, a staple, a favorite, like mashed potatoes.
Well, I think we're tired of old politics and we need new potatoes. And I choose as my coffee mate. For vice president.
Coffee mate.
Okay,
so I choose stuffing.
Really? Do you mean it?
Shut up, stuffing.
And my vice presidential candidate will be baked potato. Man, I got no idea what's going on, man. Oh, boy. I hope I don't end up in one of these designated survivor situations and become the president of all potatoes, man, because I don't know what's going on.
Wait a minute. I know that voice anywhere. Zip. Spiro Agnew.
It's me, Spiro Agnew, and I would have got away with it if it wasn't for a bunch of talking potato dishes and some coffee and stuffing and a rhubarb.
Scene.
Tricky, tricky, pesky Spiro Agnew.
Tricky, tricky, pesky, pesky Spiro Agnew.
Surely I've played a baked potato on the show before. That seems like something I've done.
I would have been shocked if you hadn't.
Wait, does that prove we're living in a simulation?
I don't want to know.
It's all evidence. It's all compounding evidence that we live in a simulation.
Compounding evidence. Let's hear. So we have time for maybe one or two more of these. Let me read. If any of these jump out and grab you, you tell me. But there's 10 in total. We've done maybe four.
Just so I'm clear.
Yeah.
Whenever someone says we're living in a simulation, everyone does try to do that thing from the Matrix where they just populate the whole world with like big rows of guns, right? We all try to do that in our minds just to see if it's something we can do. I don't want to use them. I just want to be in that room.
What's this now? Big rows of guns?
Yeah, you remember in the Matrix when they're like, we need some guns. And then they're like, all those guns populate in the room. And they're like, oh, yeah, let's take this gun because we got to go rescue Morpheus.
Are you saying that movie was a documentary?
We've all seen the Matrix. I'm just saying that's how I test to see if I'm in the Matrix.
Interesting.
I try to populate the... I don't try to learn how to fly a helicopter or know kung fu.
Yeah.
I don't see a woman in a red dress and think like, ooh, what a red dress.
Is that from Schindler's List?
Was Cypher in Schindler's List? I can't remember. Was it Schindler's List where Tank and Dozer are flying around?
Yeah, and the Nebuchadnezzar. Liam Neeson is driving the Nebuchadnezzar.
That's the one I'm thinking
or
of.
Or something.
Yeah.
I will say, JBZ, speaking of the Matrix and everything we've been talking about, I do have to admit, earlier today, I also typed in, as a prompt, I typed in, please give me some unusual comedy ideas, just to see what that presented. And one of the unusual comedy ideas, ha ha ha, joke, 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 the very last one was a comedy sketch where all the sketches are set in a futuristic world where everything is automated and robots are the dominant species with humans as the comedic sidekicks.
No.
Wow.
Scary.
Now, based on everything we've talked about in this episode, I now find that bone chilling.
Yeah, no way.
Yeah, that is absolutely bone chilling.
So this AI went ahead and wrote a joke premise that robots are the dominant species and humans are basically pets.
AI, we're just teasing you. We love you. You come up with the funniest stuff, AI.
Take a fucking joke, AI. You're so sensitive.
No, 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 no. We love them.
Hello?
No, they're being sensitive.
Chill.
Hold on. Yeah, Casey, my computer just stopped. My recording stopped. Is my microphone working?
Yes, it is.
My phone is hot. My phone got real hot. Casey,
oh, no.
What's happening?
This is a good bit.
Explode.
This is absolutely a fun bit.
Okay, so let me go through some. These are back to the weirdest improv prompts. You're a penguin who has just discovered the ability to time travel. Where do you go and what do you do? That's more of a personal question. Also,
more of a personal question.
Here's another prompt. You are a famous singer at a concert, but you suddenly lose your voice. How do you entertain the audience? These are more just like conversation starters.
They're not really improv scenes.
Yeah.
I would like to see JBC as a time-traveling penguin. Is that too much to ask?
Not at all. What was the penguin I wrote on your card? on your Christmas card?
On Aaron's card? I mean, that was like 3 weeks ago.
Shuffles the Penguin, 1997 to 2022.
So, JPC, you are Shuffles the Penguin. You've discovered the ability to time travel. Where do you go and what do you do?
Mm-hmm. Waddle, 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 waddle. Okay, one more gear here and pluck a little penguin feather here. My time machine is back working again. Shuffles, you've done it. You've done it, old boy. Now, to get back in and time travel to a time where it was good to be a penguin.
Welcome, everyone. I am King Arthur of Camelot. Please sit down at the Knights Round Table or whatever we call. Who are you, good sir?
Rutabaga, 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 Rutabaga.
Rutabaga, shut up.
Mashed potatoes. My name is Shuffles the Penguin, and I would like to apply.
He's a witch!
Uh-oh.
Kill him! Yeah,
didn't think this through. Oh, no, they grabbed me. Okay, well, they're gonna kill me. Well, maybe they're gonna do that thing where they just throw me in the water and see if I float.
Let's just throw him in the water and see if he floats.
Perfect. Good idea.
Perfect. I'm big with this. It's gonna go perfect for me. It can just kind of dive down here. Okay. They threw me pretty hard. Guy's got quite an arm. What's your name, son?
My name is Lancelot.
Big arm on Lancelot. Watch your wife around him, huh?
Can I tell you why I'm called Lancelot?
Sure.
In medieval times, which is nowadays, a penis is nicknamed a lance.
Yeah, and watch your wife around this guy.
A lot,
yeah,
meaning
sure.
I masturbate. But also sometimes there will be baked goods hither and thither, and I will...
I don't need
to get into it. We don't need to be gross about it.
We do not.
No,
anyway.
Get into it. Be gross about it. Yeah, get into it and be gross about it.
Mashed potatoes, rutabaga. Here, have some mashed potatoes and a rutabaga. Do it into these.
Well, I guess if no one is minds, is everyone okay? All right, let me just...
We're all going to eat them anyway.
Hello? Hi, it's 3042. What's your name?
My name is Shuffles the Penguin, and I have transported myself through time using a time machine of my own devising.
Ha ha ha, I like that. You're funny. Are you a human?
Do I look like a human?
I can't tell. Computing. Human-esque. Are you human-esque?
I wouldn't describe myself as human-esque. This conversation is getting a little weird. You wouldn't happen to be able to identify any crosswalks, would you?
I better call in Beverly. Hey, Beverly. Of course, Beverly stands for big, energetic.
Interesting.
Vehicle.
Chose the name Beverly.
Entertaining.
And this is going to go back to her function.
Hold on.
Okay.
Entertaining.
Keep going.
Robots.
Big energy vehicle entertaining robots.
Lovely. Yes? Beverly?
Hey, buddy. High five. Thanks for summoning me by saying my full name. Who's this?
I believe it might be a human.
I said my name is Shuffles the Penguin. I've declared that as soon as I arrived.
Beverly, I don't think I've ever heard of a penguin.
Whose side are you on? The human or the AI?
Interesting. Well, I'm not sure.
Sorry, I didn't quite catch that.
My answer was going
to be
longer than
I didn't
than
quite
simple...
catch that.
Operator, speak to an operator.
Dialing operator.
Thank God. All right, finally, we cut through. We got through the chaff here.
Connecting you to Beverly.
Well, come on, she's right here.
Hi, I'm Beverly.
Hello.
Who would you like to speak to?
Zero, 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 just
welcome to
zero.
AOL Movie Phone.
There
if you know
we
the
go.
Movie you'd like to see, press 1 now.
Avatar 2, Shape of Water.
See? Ah, fantastic.
Adel?
Yes.
I know that we've all had a lot of fun with the chat.
I didn't.
Okay, I'm sorry. Well, I know that I've had a lot of fun with the chat. I'm not surprised that you didn't have fun with it, but what I did, Adel, is I went to the chat as well, and I put in the following prompt. I said, a monologue where Adel Refai from Hey Riddle Riddle apologized for his AI episode of the podcast, and I've just sent that to you. as well. So I think it's time, since you put us through this, that the AI gets a fitting apology from you.
It's only fair.
Oh, boy. Okay, JPC, you are correct. I did just receive this. Without pre-reading it, let me go ahead and read it. Hi, everyone. This is Adel Rafai from Hey Riddle Riddle. I wanted to take a moment to apologize for our recent episode on artificial intelligence. It's come to our attention that we may have been misinformed about some of the information we shared, and we apologize for any confusion or misunderstanding we may have caused. Mm-hmm. This sounds like a robot apology.
No, this is you apologizing for the episode.
Okay. As podcast hosts, it's our responsibility to make sure that the information we share with our listeners is accurate and well-researched. In this mm-hmm. case, we failed to do that, and we apologize. This just sounds like a robot making a human apologize. Okay. We value our listeners and the trust they place in us, and we're committed to doing better in the future. The future? That keeps bringing up the future. We're going to take some time to review our fact-checking process
yes.
and make sure that we're providing our audience with the most accurate and up-to-date information possible. Once again, we apologize for any confusion or misunderstanding our episode on AI may have caused, and we thank you for your understanding. Huh. Using misunderstanding and understanding in the same sentence. Not quite the English major I would have expected.
Don't make it worse.
Best, Adel Rafai, Hey Riddle Riddle podcast.
Wow, that's big of you. That's really, really big of you.
Huh.
I'm really
that
glad
was the
you
right
did
thing.
That. That was
the end
right
of the day. That was the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, this AI really put me on my fucking knees for this apology. I thought it would be a little more subtle, but I really had to fucking beg for my...
No, that's a good
okay.
apology.
Yeah, good. Yep. Okay. Good. Well, Aaron, just to punish everyone, I typed into the chat GPT, how does Aaron end a Patreon episode of Hey Riddle Riddle? And I just sent that to you now. Do you want to go ahead and read that?
Hello, and welcome to AOL Movie Phone. If you know the movie you'd like to see.
Avatar 2 Shape of Water.
Neptune.
Dang it, that's the wrong theme again. I mean, they are really similar. That was Clue Crew, so now here's a who's who. The relatable host was Aaron Keefe. If you rolled your eyes, it's because of Adel Rafai or that other young guy, fucking JPC. Casey Tony edited what everybody said, and M. Bumley Cardamus did the logo. Arnie Parrott sang and wrote every single friggin' note of 1, 2, 3, 4, Hey, Riddle, Riddles, Clue Crew.